David Cameron and Enda Kenny will visit several First World War graves and memorial sites today across Flanders in Belgium. The Taoiseach and Britain's Prime Minister will pay their respects to those who gave their lives in the First World War almost 100 years ago. So as part of our last history slot of the year, we're looking ahead to 2014, which will mark the centenary of the outbreak of World War One. I'm joined in studio by historian and university lecturer Diarmaid Ferrier. Diarmaid, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, the outbreak of the war, I mean, we've talked before about this, they sort of all knew it was coming. I mean, there were so many things going on in Europe at the time, yeah. So many old things breaking down, and the arms race that was actually going on between Germany and Britain. Something had to give.
Absolutely, and it was quite clear by early 1914, particularly for those in positions of senior military authority who were, you know, looking at how this might play out, that there was going to be a war. What they didn't know was how long that war was going to be.
They did think it was going to be short, didn't
they?
There was
a lot of speculation about a war that might be over by Christmas, you know. Now, I mean, that wasn't necessarily what some of the senior strategists thought, but, I mean, there was that common perception that this could be a short war, and that turned out to be a serious misjudgment.
There's no doubt that they mistook the nature of the war, because they were still talking about cavalry and horses.
This is the thing about a 20th century war, you know. I mean, can you conduct the kind of campaign they needed to conduct using essentially a 19th century approach to military warfare? This is why what we eventually get is total war, the Great War. These are labels that are applied retrospectively, but it was quite clear, particularly when they get bogged down, literally, as well as politically and militarily, that they actually have to completely rethink their strategy, and it involves conflict on a scale unimaginable. And of course, that creates huge pressure in terms of manpower, but also in terms of the materials that they needed. So it's warfare on a different scale altogether.
Did they have any examples of how warfare might have been conducted before? I mean, there was a Russian conflict where machine guns had been used. You know, they should have known better.
They should have known better. What they also perhaps should have known was the extent of the preparation of Germany, you know, and the way in which they were viewing the possibilities of warfare now, and how they were going to conduct those campaigns. You know, when you consider, you know, the use of machine guns in particular, the use of armoury, the way they were able to dig in deep and prepare, you know, to resist. And you know, the sheer scale of what they were able to do by, you know, bedding down at an early stage. And that's why some of the conflict areas become areas of such entrenched warfare. And you can literally only move a couple of hundred metres over the course of weeks or even months.
Segment 1. David Cameron and Enda Kenny will visit several First World War graves and memorial sites today across Flanders in Belgium. The Taoiseach and Britain's Prime Minister will pay their respects to those who gave their lives in the First World War almost 100 years ago. So as part of our last history slot of the year, we're looking ahead to 2014, which will mark the centenary of the outbreak of World War One. I'm joined in studio by historian and university lecturer Diarmaid Ferrier. Diarmaid, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, the outbreak of the war, I mean, we've talked before about this, they sort of all knew it was coming. I mean, there were so many things going on in Europe at the time, so many old things breaking down, and the arms race that was actually going on between Germany and Britain. Something had to give.
Segment 2.
Absolutely, and it was quite clear by early 1914, particularly for those in positions of senior military authority who were, you know, looking at how this might play out, that there was going to be a war. What they didn't know was how long that war was going to be.
They did think it was going to be short, didn't
there
they?
There was a lot of speculation about a war that might be over by Christmas, you know. Now, I mean, that wasn't necessarily what some of the senior strategists thought, but, I mean, there was that common perception that this could be a short war, and that turned out to be a serious misjudgment.
There's no doubt that they mistook the nature of the war, because they were still talking about cavalry and horses.
This is the thing about a 20th century war, you know. I mean, can you conduct the kind of campaign they needed to conduct using essentially a 19th century approach to military warfare?
Segment 3.
This is why what we eventually get is total war, the Great War. These are labels that are applied retrospectively, but it was quite clear, particularly when they get bogged down, literally, as well as politically and militarily, that they actually have to completely rethink their strategy, and it involves conflict on a scale unimaginable. And of course, that creates huge pressure in terms of manpower, but also in terms of the materials that they needed. So it's warfare on a different scale altogether.
Did they have any examples of how warfare might have been conducted before? I mean, there was a Russian conflict where machine guns had been used. They should have known better.
Segment 4.
They should have known better. What they also perhaps should have known was the extent of the preparation of Germany, you know, and the way in which they were viewing the possibilities of warfare now and how they were going to conduct those campaigns. You know, when you consider, the use of machine guns in particular, the use of armoury, the way they were able to dig in deep and prepare, you know, to resist. And the sheer scale of what they were able to do by, you know, bedding down at an early stage. And that's why some of the conflict areas become areas of such entrenched warfare. And you can literally only move a couple of hundred metres over the course of weeks or even months.